Well, sounds like the rain might be coming in, but I can out preach the rain, I hope. Amen. Matthew chapter 20. This is very, very, very familiar story to you in the Bible, and I'd be willing to bet you've never heard it preached on. I've never heard it preached on, and never heard a comment a whole lot about it. It's a peculiar passage in the Scripture in Matthew chapter 20, and the Bible's got some peculiar stuff about them. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 says this. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard." And this is the Lord. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're laborers for God. That's what we are. And we're working his vineyard. That's what we do. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." The first group, he agreed a penny a day. In verse 3 it says, "He went out the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way." Verse 5, "And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house," that's the Lord, "saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto the last, even as I have done unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will do with mine? Is thine evil because I am good?" It's the Lord. "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." Now this is a peculiar story in the Bible, and it's talking about laborers, and God's calling up laborers for his vineyard. And the word vineyard means a yard of vines. It means a garden. It's what it is. It's where garden grows. It's where it's cultivated and filled. And you and I, we're called to work for the Lord. Throughout the Bible, we're likened to a farmer. We're likened to working in the vineyard of God. We're likened to working in the garden. It says over in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I've given you this many times, the Christian works that of a farmer. It says, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive according to the word, according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry." Husbandry in the Bible, that word husband, it means a man of toil. It means a man who works as a farmer. You and I are God's husbandry. We're the laborers for the vineyard. That's what he's talking about here. If you've been saved and you know Jesus Christ, you ought to be working for the Lord. And his vineyard's out there is the world. And it's a picture of that. And you read this story, but the thing about this story, when you read it, you go through it, one of them starts early in the morning. A Jewish day is 12 hours a day. It starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. There's the work that's laid out. And the first group, the Lord calls them early in the morning. He agrees with them for a penny a day. And they work, Miss Rachel, they work 12 hours all day. And the next group comes out 3 hours later, 9 o'clock in the morning, and they go out. Then 6 hours later at noon, another group goes out. Then 9 hours later, 3 o'clock, another group goes out. Then at 11 hours later, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the next group goes out, and they only work 1 hour. And Brother Ben, when they get through with all this, the Lord brings them up, and every one of them gets a penny. That don't seem fair, does it? I mean, hey, listen. These guys worked all day for 12 hours and bore the toil and the heat of the day. And they come in, and these other guys come in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they work 1 hour. And when it gets through, they all get paid the same. That just don't seem right to me. Let's be honest. I heard Brother Joe Cully preach one time on a message on some things, and he mentioned this right here. He said there's just things in the Bible that don't seem right to me.
He said that story over there about those laborers go out there and some of them work 12 hours and one of them works only an hour and they all get paid the same. He said to me, that just don't seem right. I don't think that's right. But he said, guess what? God's right and I'm wrong. See, there's more to the story than what we think, see. A lot of time we look at it, the Bible says over in the book of Psalms, it said the words of the Lord are right. It said the statutes of the Lord are right, converting the soul. Listen, my friend, the Word of God is right. It's always right. And when we see something like that, it don't seem right, then there's something going on. We need to dig a little deeper, maybe. Or maybe sometime we might be digging too deep. We might miss the forest for the tree sometimes. Sometimes we just don't understand it. When I read this years ago, I've been saved for 40 years, and I've looked at this many times. I've never preached on it, never heard it preached on. But I look at a lot of the commentaries, and nobody really had anything on it. And when that happens, Miss Martha, that intrigues me. I want to try to get a message up, Joe. When nobody's got it, I say, God, give me something on this. Give me something, what's going on. I know it's right. I know it's true. I know it's good. It's the Word of God. So, Lord, would you please give me something? And I think He gave me a few things about it. Because the thing about this, it don't make sense to us. It goes against our human pride and our nature. But much of the Word of God does. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it said the carnal mind, the flesh mind, the carnal man is an enmity, is an enemy of God, is what it says. It said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14, it said, for the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, their foolishness unto him. The natural man. It says another time over in the book of Galatians, it says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and it said they're contrary one to the other. And a lot of times things in the Bible, you know what they are? They're contrary to you and I. And this is a story right here. I mean, they're all work. They come out there, one guy works 1 hour, one works 12, and when he gets through it all, they all get paid the same. Now, if you worked a job, you wouldn't like that. You had a job and you worked 60 hours a week and they paid you $2,000, $1,000. You worked 60 hours a week or 72. That's what they had worked, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. That was a Jewish work week, was 72 hours a week. And this other joker come along and he worked 6 hours and you worked 72 and they got paid the same. It'd probably be your last day on the job, wouldn't it? You'd probably quit. But we know the Bible's right. We know it's true. J.C. Riley, in his commentary on Matthew, says about this. He said there could be no doubt about the doctrinal sound. This doctrine sounds strange to the ignorant and unexperienced Christian. It confounds the pride of human nature. It leaves the self-righteous no room to boast. It is leveling, humbling doctrine, and it gives occasion to many a murmur, but it is impossible to reject it unless you reject the whole Bible. In other words, you have to take it as it is, and truth, thy word is truth, sanctify them truth. So there must be a message here. There must be something here. So I want to give you a few things in this story here, this text. I want to say, number one, there's the work. You and I are called to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, period. That's what we're here about. And the Bible said that He called forth laborers and sent them to His vineyard. That vineyard is God's work. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we're laborers together with God. We're here to work and we're labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we pass out tracts. That's why we knock on doors. That's why we do the things we try to do. We're trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're trying to get people saved. And we're trying to do work for the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, one time Jesus said, He said, look out there on the field, it's white, it's ready for harvest. He said, send forth, ask the Lord to send forth laborers. He said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want to say there's the work. God has called us to work for Him. The seven churches in Revelation, when He goes through them, every one of them He says, I know thy works, I know thy works. The last thing in Revelation chapter 22 says this, and behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. We're not saved by works, we're saved by grace, we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But once we get saved, we ought to be working for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the work. There's the workers. You know who the workers are? It's God's people. God has called men and women and young people to go work. We're ambassadors for Christ. I preached about that a while back. I preached on 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 here a while back on our little preach-a-thon. Miss Liz threw that one out. That was a good one. If my people It's all about God's people. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their ways, sick wicked ways, and pray and seek my face, he said, then I'll heal the land. It's always the responsibility of God's people to tend to the gap. It's always been that way. That's the workers. That's you and I. There's the work that's set out before. There's the workers. And I want to give you a few things about it. Now here's where it gets into the message a little bit. There's the wages. Notice the wages. Look at verse number of Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Here's where we get some direction and definition and some distinction in the message. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. They're going out early in the morning, 6 o'clock. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them to his vineyard. The first group there got up early in the morning. You know what they agreed with the wages? They said, hey, I'm going to give you a penny a day to go work. And according to the commentators and the things I looked up, they said that was a fair wage back in those days, a penny a day for a full day's work. 12 hours a day. They got a penny a day, and there was the wages that first bunch. They got their wages. They knew what they were going to get paid, and they were happy with it at that point. They were happy. How do you know? He said, they agreed with him. He said, I'll give you a penny a day. Go out there and work. And they said, sounds like a good deal to me. We'll take it. There's the wages. They agreed with it. Right? Look at verse 3. Watch the difference. You see, there's a different attitude here. And verse 3 says this. And he went out about the third hour. There was 9 o'clock in the morning. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard and watch this. Look at the wages of these. They didn't agree for a penny a day. He said, whatsoever is right, I'll give it to you. And they went their way. Look at the next group. Come down to verse 7. And they say, because no man hath hired us, he said, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, ye shall receive. They didn't agree with any wages. They weren't worried about the wages. You know what they were more concerned about? They were concerned about the work. The work. And the Lord comes out there and he says, hey, you go to work. And he said, whatever I see is right, he said, I'm going to give it to you. You know what they said? Okay, we'll take that deal. Let's go. You know what it tells me? It tells me we need to do right. Not for the wages, not for the rewards, but we need to do, just do right. And that was the difference. Like I mentioned the first part of this message. I said, you know, this message, it just don't seem right. These guys go work all day. They work 12 hours. This guy comes in 1 hour. But you know what? The difference is what they did was right. And Jesus told him, he said, hey, you go to work and whatsoever is right, you'll receive. And they trusted in their hire, this case the Lord, to give them the right wages when they got through. They said, Lord, I'll trust you. I'll go do the work. Hand to you when you go to an interview the job, you know one of the first things you want to know, Miss Martha, you know what that is? How much you gonna pay me? I want to know my benefits and how much I'm gonna make, Brother Joe. That's the first thing I want to know. Not these guys. He said, hey, go to work. And he said, whatsoever right, I'll give you. I wouldn't go to work for anybody like that, I'll be honest with you. Because what's right to me might not be right to them. Right to them might be $2 an hour. Right to me might be $20 an hour. But you know, they trusted their employer, the one that hired them, and they said, hey, whatsoever right, and they just went to work at that moment. Not many people do that. Brother Matt Welch that was here, the missionary friend of mine that started 120 churches in Turkey, went to Bible school. He went down, I didn't realize how young he was, because we were all young, but he was 18 right out of high school. We went to Bible school. And y'all heard him here that day. Some of you were here. And he went down there to get a job, and he couldn't do nothing, Miss Rachel. He didn't know how to do nothing. But he knew how to sweep. That's all he knew. He could sweep a broom. So he went to a cabinet shop out there, and he told him, he said, listen, I want to clean up this place, and I want to sweep it. And he said, you don't have to pay me nothing. He said, you pay me what I'm worth. He said, if I don't do a good job, don't pay me nothing. If you want to pay me something, pay me something. I don't know too many people would take that on. But he did. But these folks did. You know what they did? They weren't worried about the wages. They were worried about the work. You know what? When you get worried about the wages, you get in trouble. The key word in this story, you know what it is? It's right. He said, whatever you do, whatever it is right, I'm going to give it to you. In the end of the day, when they got paid, they trusted the Lord and they said, you know what? It'll be right. You know what you and I need to do? We need to just do right and trust God. Genesis 18 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Hey, we don't have to worry about the wages. We don't have to worry about it. All we need to do is do the work, because we know when it ends and it's settled and payday come, it'll be right. But when you worry about the fruit and the wages, you know what? You'll get bogged down the wrong way. My kids went to college, you know. They were all about the money. My daughter started in college. She wanted to be a nurse. Esther was a nurse, so she wanted to be a nurse like Esther. And I knew she couldn't be a nurse. She didn't have the brain for it. But I knew she was a great teacher. She loved teaching. Coming up as a little kid, she'd get all her friends and teach them all this kind of stuff. But she went to school with Miss Jane the first semester. She flunked out big time as a nurse. But she wanted to do it because Miss Martha, nurses paid a lot of money, she said. But she flunked out, couldn't manage. She was all upset. And I said, kiddo, I said, the reason you go to college sometimes is just to find out what you cannot do. But I said, you need to find out what you can do and what you love to do. Forget about the wages. Forget about the money. Because if you love it, then you'll be successful. And you heard that saying, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. And if you love the work for Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you this morning, you're not going to worry about the wages and the rewards and all that kind of stuff, because you know at the end of the day, He'll settle it right. And that's what those folks did. That first bunch, they were worried about the wages. Just do right. You say, why do you do it? You just do it because it's right. That's why you serve the Lord. You don't worry about the wages. You just do it because it is right. That's a big word, right, isn't it? Bob Jones Sr. started Bob Jones University as an old-time Methodist mule skinner preacher. Man, he could preach up a storm. And one of his famous sayings was, do right. Do right. He said, the stars fall from heaven, still do right. They wrote a biography on his life. You know what the title of it was? Do right. Don't worry about the wages. Don't worry about the fruit. Don't worry about the results. Just do right. That's how you serve God. You go out and do right. Think of Tommy Tillman, started that ministry there. He's got over there in Mongolia, all those lepers. Who would have thought the day he started Brother Don, he jumped in that ministry? Who would ever thought 50 years from now, all the things he did, he didn't look at the wages. He didn't look at the reward. He just did it because he was doing right. That's the name of the game. You know what those folks were doing? They just did it because it's right. You know why we do some of the things we do in this church? Why we pass out gospel tracts? It's not the fruit. We don't see much fruit from it down here. You know why we stand on the street corner and hold a gospel side up and the side? You know when we knock on doors? You know why we do all that stuff? You say, why is it, preacher? We don't do it by the fruit. You can tell this church is not packed. We do it because it's the right thing to do. And that's our wages. We don't look for the wages. If you start looking at the wages, you won't do it for God. When I took this church and talked to Brother Jeff about it, and I've been praying about it, when he asked me about taking this church, pastoring it, I called a few preachers up to get some help and counsel and some advice from them. I called three of them. One of them was Thad Endicott, a young man out in Auburn, a friend of mine who's been incredible starting churches, get his advice, what he thought. I called another friend of mine, James Melton in Tennessee, been in the ministry about 30 years, and got a storefront church of about 8 folks, prints out thousands of tracts. I wanted to hear what he had to say. And I called a good friend of mine out in Pell City, David Wood. David Wood started 2 churches from scratch. He started Bible Baptist up in Gadsden, and he started Faith Baptist over in Pell City. It's been going 30-something years, started them both from scratch. He's got a fake Bible Baptist camp for young people. All of his children are serving God. His 2 boys are preaching and pastors. His daughter's serving God. Hey, with a resume like that, I want to know what this guy's got to say. So I called Brother Wood and asked. I hadn't talked to him in 10 years probably. And I told him, Lord, I said, Brother Wood, I said, they kind of offered me this church and by a pastor. And I said, I don't know, I'm praying about it. I said, I just wanted your advice and counsel. Tell me, give me some good words or what to do. Give me some help. He said, don't expect much. Don't expect much. He said, don't get too encouraged when people come. They'll leave. And don't get too discouraged when they leave. He said, keep your eyes on the Lord. And we got talking about visitation, knocking on doors and different things. And Brother Wood told me this. I'll never forget it. He said, we knock on every door in this neighborhood around this church so many miles. He said, we knock on every door every year, Miss Rachel, he said. Every year we knock on every door. But he said this, I'll be honest with you. He said, I've never gotten one person in my church doing that. He said, I saw no fruit from it. But he said, the reason we do it, because God told us to do it, and it's right. You see, you do it like those folks. You do it because it's right. You don't look at the wages. You don't look at the fruit. You look at it and you do it right because it's right, knowing one day He'll settle up. Charles Spurgeon wrote in his commentary on Matthew, whatsoever is right, I will give you. They went their way to the labor. They did not wish to remain idle as his right-minded man. They could have quarreled with the householder's agreement to give him whatsoever was right. But oh, he said, oh, that us around us, what at once would take up the tools and begin to serve the great Lord because it is right. You say, why are you serving this morning? I'll tell you why. Because it's right. I don't look at their wages. I'm not looking at rewards. I don't know that I'd get any, to be honest with you. God's standard's so much higher than mine, but I'm doing and trying to serve Him the last 43 years of my life for one reason. Because it's right. I think of Billy Graham. My goodness. How God used that man is unbelievable. Went home to be with the Lord 99 years old here recently. 99 years old. Preached live to 215 million people. He preached on television to over 2.2 billion people. I mean, man, what a ministry, what a life for God, what a service for the Lord. His son Franklin asked him, he said, Dad, what do you want on your grave marker? What you want? He said, I want you just to put one word, preacher. He's got a simple grave marker. He don't even have a tombstone. Just a flat grave marker. And it says, Billy Graham, November the 7th, 1918, February 21st, 2018, preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all it said. If you walk by that simple grave, you'd never know. You'd think that just was a little country preacher there. Yet that man served and worked God, but he wasn't worried about the wages. He is buried in a casket, a plywood casket made by the prisoners over there in a Louisiana prison over there. They laid a pad from Walmart down in the prison. They nailed a wooden cross on the casket. He wasn't worried about the wages. He did it because it was right. His will said this. I ask my children, grandchildren, to maintain and defend at all hazards at any cost of personal sacrifice, the blessed doctrine of complete atonement through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ once offered. And that only. His last words in his will was this. He is still preaching. Millions of people read his will online, heard it. His last words were this. I urge all who shall read this document to read and study the Scriptures daily and to trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ for sound. That was his last words. He's still preaching. Man, what a work that guy did. But he wasn't worried about the wages. Here's what he said in his will. He said, I had very little in my early life to call my own. And the first years of our marriage, we had very little to live on. From the beginning of our marriage, we determined that we would be tithers. We have tried to use our material blessings for the glory of God. We have always tried to keep a somewhat detached attitude from them. We never wanted our roots to be very deep in this world. Here's what he said. Listen to this. Whether I've handled these things properly or not, we shall have to wait the judgment of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to see how these things panned out. I mean, all that man did, Miss Rachel. I mean, he could have tooted his horn, told all the things. At the end of the day, he said, I'll just have to wait till I meet the Lord and just see how everything worked out. You know what he was worried about? He was worried about the work, not the wages. You see, when you get worried about the wages, you get like that other bunch. Because you know what they turned into? They turned into a bunch of whiners. That's what they were doing. They were murmuring against the good men of the house. Who was that? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. They were complaining to Him. A little bit later, they murmured. They said, Hey, you've made these folks equal with us. We're better than them. You know what that is? That's a little whiner. They're worried about the wages. They're worried about, hey man, give me some applause. Give me some accolades. Hey, you got to pay me more than you pay these guys. Listen, brother, it's not the wages. It's the work. It's the work God called us to do. At the end of the day, the Lord will settle. I tell you, there's the work, there's the workers, there's the wages, there's the whiners. Let me give you something else in that text. There's the waste. If you read that in there, you know what most of those guys did? They wasted their day. They wasted their life. Some of them were sitting around. They were at the third hour. They were at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Lord calls him. Some of them come up at 6 o'clock. 6 hours later, that's 12 o'clock noon, Jewish calendar. 9 hours later, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Done wasted 3/4 of the day. Some of them at the 11th hour. They done wasted 11 hours. There's the waste. I mean, they sit around and waste their time. You know what? So many God's people today, they've wasted their lives. They wasted their time. I had an uncle of mine, Uncle Blue. I've told you about him. He was an old drunkard. My whole family was drunkards. And he was a drunkard. And I got saved. And I hadn't been saved but a few months. And he is dying of cancer. He is dying. My aunt, she run a cat house. Bunch of harlots in there is all it was. And I went in there to witness to them. They're just an unbelievable mess to go into that place. But God, I got saved. Lord put it on my heart, said, go witness to him. And he's laying in a corner there, and they're smoking, and women running around drinking. And he's laying there in a little bed in the corner dying. He just shriveled up to nothing. And I witnessed to him, and I said, Uncle Bloom, I'm glad it's his boy. I said, I got saved. I'm a Christian. I'm here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Uncle Bloom, you're dying, you know. You're going to meet the Lord. I said, I want to tell you how to be saved. I want to tell you how to know Jesus Christ, how He shed His blood on the cross for you. And he told me with tears in his eyes, his face, I can still see his face all shrunken up with that cancer eating him up. And he told me he got saved at a rescue mission a few months ago. And tears in his eyes. I'll never forget what he told me. I never forgot it. He said, I got saved. He said, but I've wasted my whole life. And I remember I got home this race and I said, oh God. Oh God. Oh God, don't let me waste this life. Don't let me waste this life. God, let me do something for you. David Cassidy, the famous teenage idol of the Partridge Family, died here last year. You know what his last words were on his deathbed? I mean, that guy made millions. He was a teenage idol. His last words were, a wasted life. That old saying says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I like old Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist. He was out preaching one time, and he came home from a revival. I was telling a young couple about this last week at the park. They work with young people. They have a youth ministry. And Dwight L. Moody came home, and his wife asked him, she said, well, honey, how many people got saved? He said, 2.5. 2.5. She said, 2.5? What do you mean, 2.5? He said, 2 children, 1 adult. The adults done wasted half their life. You know what we do? We waste half our life, 3/4 of their life. You know what they did? They wasted their life. They're 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours. They were at the 11th hour. But you know what I like about this message? You know what I like about this story, Brother Tom? Brother Don, it's never too late to work for the Lord. I mean, these guys had wasted their life. They were at the third hour. They were at the sixth hour. They were at the ninth. One of them was at the 11th hour. Man, he was 1 hour away with the day. And Jesus called them to work. And they went to work. And when they got through, you know what he did? He divided it up. You know what it tells me? You may have wasted your life. 3/4 might be through. 7/8 might be through. 11/12 might be through. You might be on the last days of last year. But I want to tell you, it's never too late to get into work. These people wasted their lives. Many of the greatest workers for Jesus Christ and preachers, they got started late in life. Sadie Crosby wrote 9,000 hymns, wrote that hymn we read, sung this morning, "To God Be the Glory." We sing her hymns all the time. She didn't get saved. She was 45 years old. She wrote her first hymn at 45. When she is 65, she surrendered to the rescue mission. It's never too late. And may I remind you, she was blind through all this. The man that started Worldwide Track Ministry, Brother Max Prouty, I surrendered to preach under that man's preacher. He was a great man of God, started that track ministry. He got saved when he was 45. He was an alcoholic when he got saved. His alcohol had eaten up his throat when he preached. You couldn't hardly understand him when you talk him, you knew him. But he got in late, but he went to work. It's never too late to work for Jesus Christ. Good friend of mine, Brother Dickman, Malcolm Dixon, he's the one that started all these scripture signs you see all over the country. A lot of our bumper stickers came from Brother Dickman. He went home to be the Lord at the age of 78. 2003, he got saved when he was 55, an old drunkard. I remember when he got saved, I was in Pensacola. One of the most humble, kind, nicest men you ever want to meet in your life. And one day he's riding along, and God put it on his heart to start putting scriptures in the yard, and he's got them in every state of the United States and most foreign countries, and did what God... It's never too late to get started for God. You may have wasted 3/4. You may have wasted 11, 12. But I want to tell you, it's never too late to get started for God. There was a waste. Like an old black preacher said one time about this story. He said the moral of this here story is that it don't make no difference what time you get to work. The question is, are you on the job? Are you on the job? There's a waste. You see, they wasted a lot, but they went to work. And there's something else. There's the work. There's the workers. There's the wagers. There's the winders. There's the waste. And there's the willing. The thing about these folks, you know what? When God called them, they were willing to go. They could have made excuses. They didn't hesitate to go. They were willing and they had a willing heart. The Bible said, Exodus 35, those people brought forth the offerings of God because they had a willing heart. It takes a willing heart and it takes your will to serve the Lord. It's not just a desire to want to. It takes a will. They were willing to go and work for the Lord Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 real quick. I want to say they were willing. There was a wages of this story. They weren't worried about the wages. There's a waste. A lot of them wasted their life, but they still got in the work. It's never too late to serve God. It's never too late to get in. It's never too late to get in gear and start doing something for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this. I'll tell you about those folks. They'd wasted a lot, but there was one thing about them. They were willing. It takes a will. You got to be willing. Are you willing? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this, verse 10. And herein have I given my advice, for this is expedient for you. Paul said, I'm going to give you this advice. It's expedient. He means it's very, very important what I'm about to tell you. And which have begun before, but not only to do, also to be forward a year ago. Watch it. Here's what he's trying to tell them. Now therefore perform the doing of it. As that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. He said, you guys need to get the job done. You got a will, you're ready. Come on, let's do it. Look at the next verse. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to he hath not. Paul said, hey, if you're willing, let's get with it and start performing and doing something with it. You know what those folks were? When Jesus walked out there, he went out to the one in the third hour. And the Bible said this. He said he went out there and called in the third. And the Bible said this. He called them to his vineyard and it said, and they went their way. They went to work. They went to work. There was no hesitation. They could have said, hey, now Lord, it's 9:00 in the morning. I just got up, Lord. Could you come back in a little bit? I'm pretty beat right now. I stayed up watching the boob tube last night, and I'm pretty wore out. Could you come back a little bit later? You ever heard that? I bet some of you said that. I bet some of you visitation Saturday said, "Hey,
oh man, I worked all week. I'm kind of tired, Lord. Preacher wants us out there at 10 o'clock. My goodness."
They didn't hesitate. They're ready to go. They were willing. They wasted, but they were willing. He come to the one at 6 o'clock. 6 hours later, you know what that was? That was 12 o'clock in the day. You know, they could have said, "Hey, come on, Lord, give me a break. It's noon. It's the hottest time of the day. I mean, you really want me to go work in your vineyard right now? Hey, come back about 3 o'clock and maybe we can talk about it. It's just too hot right now to get started." They didn't say that. They wasted a day, Ms. Rachel. But when God called them, they were willing to go. There's one of them out there. He'd been there, the Bible said, 9 hours later, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He could have said, "Hey, the day is far spent. Why in the world do you want me to go work there? What about that guy 11th hour?" You know what he said? He could have said, "Hey, there's just 1 hour left, Lord. I can't even get started by then. What in the world am I going to do with 1 hour left?" Every one of them went to work. You say, what was it? They were willing to work for the Lord. You know what's wrong with a lot of God's people? They give up before they get started. They make excuses. "Well, Lord, you know, I'm kind of tired this morning, Lord. Man, I worked all week. I got this." Or, "Lord, you know, it's kind of hot. It's raining out there today, God. I don't need to get out in that kind of thing, Lord." I mean, they just look at one excuse for another. You know what those people were? They were willing to work. It didn't matter the time of the day. It didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter if it was just 1 hour left. They were ready to go. Too many of you here this morning, you know what? You skip out of the Lord because you come up with excuses. Remind me over Luke chapter 14 one time. He called them that supper. And the Bible said he sent them out there and said, "Come." And they always wanted consent to be making excuses. One of them said, "Hey, I got a piece of ground. I got to go garden. I got this garden I got to take care of." He said the next one, he said, "Hey, are you going to go?" He said, "I've got a yoke and I got something I got to do. I can't be there at church. Don't you know I got something I got to do?" And the Bible said they with all one consent begin to make excuses. There's an old saying that said, "He that is good at making excuses is good for nothing else." There's no excuse not to be in church, folks, unless you're just sick. There's no excuse not to be working for Jesus Christ if you're saved. There's no excuse, or there's no thing, nothing you can bring up to God about it. It's not going to fly. But you know what happens too many times with the Lord? With God's people, they get stuck in the ditch. And they get stuck in the ditch of laziness. And they get stuck in the ditch of apathy. And they get stuck in the ditch where they just don't care. And they get to that 9th hour. And they get to that 11th hour and they say, "Well, I've done come this far. I might as well just run the whole deal." No, listen. There was 1 hour left. There's one breath left with you this morning. And every one of us got one breath. You ought to be giving it to God. Some of you this morning, you're on the 11th hour. We talked about last Thursday night. The people in this church has gone home to be with the Lord. Used to be one sit right there. Miss Michelle used to sit right over there. Last year, had another, David Ellsworth sitting right there. Larry Cooper, the previous pastor of this church. We had people sitting over here. Robert Richardson sit right there. David Beard sit right there. Went home to be with the Lord. You know, some of you this morning, you're on the 11th hour. Everybody in this building, pretty much by our age, we're past the 9th hour. I turned 64 yesterday. I'm way past the 9th hour. I'm at the 10 or the 11. You know what I want to do? I want to give everything I got to God on this last deal. May not have much left, but I'm going to tell you this much. I want to try to give it to Him. I'm not interested in the world. I'm not interested in applause of the world. I'm not interested in wages. I'm interested in trying to do something for His, for Him. You never know. You never know. Those folks, you know what they did? The Bible said that. They went. They didn't just have a will. They went. Just having a will won't do it. The Bible said they went. You know that first bunch, if you look in the text, and look at Matthew 20, if you got it handled, look at the first bunch. The Bible said about that bunch, you know what it said about them? It said He sent them out. He sent them. He had to send them out that first bunch that got the wages. He had to push them out. He had to urge them. But that other bunch, every one of them, the Bible said they weren't sent. It said they
they went. There's a whole lot of difference. See, the initiative was on them when they went. They didn't have to have somebody push and pull them all the time. You know what they had? They had a will to do right. They weren't worried about their wages. And they went. And the Bible said, they went. There's a song, "My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around the table, but no one wants to work my field. No one wants to work my fields. Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain, and it's ripe under the harvest. But the reapers, that's the laborers, that's me and you, where are they? In the house, oh, can't the children hear the father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty." You know the last verse in that story in Matthew chapter 20, if you have it handy, Matthew chapter 20, if you look at verse 16, the last verse in that chapter, in that story there, is one of the most pitiful and saddest verses in the Bible to me. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that saved us, trying to get people to work for Him, trying to get people to serve Him. And He says this in Matthew 20, verse 16. I mean, it's an honor to serve Jesus Christ. I preach on an ambassador for Christ. That's what we're called in the Bible, to represent. What greater person, what greater one would you want to be associated with than the Lord Jesus Christ? But Matthew 20, 16 says, here's what the Lord said after He deals with those. He says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last." And He says this, these last words, "For many are called." God calls us for the field. God calls us for the work. He said, "Many are called, but few chosen." You know why God don't use you? You know why God don't choose you? You know why so many people God puts on the shelf and they never get anywhere? Because they're not willing. They're not willing. And they're not willing to go. These folks, you know what they did? They went. They sacrificed their lives for Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that verse that I mentioned. The world's in a mess. They're looking for something. They need something. "If my people, which are called by my name," that's me, "I'd rather be called a Christian than anything in the world." That's what it means, a follower of Jesus Christ. "If my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven." You know what our responsibility is on this stuff? Us. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Ask my wife to come play something this morning. Give you a few minutes here at the altar. This thing's winding down. Some of you at 11 hours and 59 minutes. Some of you, there's probably people in this room. I don't know, but there's probably people in this